David assigned topics, I guess, to everybody, with the exception of yours truly. And he talked with me for months and months, and he gave up and said, "I don't know if you've got enough intelligence for me to assign you." You didn't say that. Sometimes my mind. He does have a way of bringing out the worst in me. One time he told me, he said, "Barrett Holloway, you lie like a rug." And he's the cause of it. He'll call and I'll be out somewhere and don't answer the phone. I get back in, he calls again. "Where were you, fishing?" I said, "Yeah." And he knows I put up all my rods and reels years ago. They're around somewhere. He knows that. But he just wants me to lie, I guess. And I say, "Yeah, we caught the limit and brought them in, and I'm headed back in a little bit." And that's when he accused me of lying. It's his fault. I'll ask you to turn with me to the 9th chapter of Hebrews. Brother Rodney quoted this verse last evening. And whatever verses I quote or ask you to turn to, I want you to know before I get started that I am in no way in disagreement with anything he said. I am in full agreement, believe exactly as he told us last evening. So I want you to keep that in mind if you think I'm missing the mark in that. I fully believe what we heard. Hebrews 9, the 28th verse. But before we read it, would you bow with me as we unite our hearts in seeking the Lord? Folk, if God doesn't help, then we meet in vain. And if Christ isn't exalted and glorified, then we've missed the mark. Our purpose in gathering this morning ought not to be to obtain knowledge. You already know everything that I'm going to say. But it ought to be the application. Of spiritual truth to my heart. Affecting my walk and my life. Unlike the majority of professing Christendom in our day. It just doesn't have an effect. May the Lord grant that as we seek His face for these things. Our Father, we exist in this day, first of all, because You've made another day. And you provided us with grace and mercy to see it. And we are here by thy good will. And now, as we gather, I pray you'll take from our minds the rest of the day, its events, the rest of the week, the things that we left behind that need to be done as far as we think, and that for a few short minutes compared to eternity, that we'd have our minds and our hearts turned toward thee. And that the dear souls here would look far beyond a preacher to thee, our God and our Father. And would you open our hearts as you did those two headed away from Jerusalem. And would you expound unto us the things in Scripture concerning thyself. And Lord, it would be a good day if we all could just gather around the feet of the Lord Jesus. As Martha did, and that we could leave as the disciples were left, did not our hearts burn within us while he walked with us and talked with us? Exalt him. Glorify thy great name. Give us of thy Spirit to that end. And help the preacher and the hearer with wisdom, with unction, and will love us with open hearts to the glory of Christ, our dear Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, the great apostle said, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many." Many. "And unto them that look for him," and that's what I'd like to speak to you about this morning, "to them that look for him." Of what we're warned in the Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:2, "You yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night." In 2 Peter 3:10, "But the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night." Do hope, do trust that I'm speaking to a group of people that will have their eyes heavenward, looking for the appearing second time of the Son of God. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. Remember. And hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. If the goodman of the house had known when the master would have returned, he would have been watching. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. In the early 1900s, extending on up into the period in which I began in the ministry. But in the early 1900s, a reaction arose across America standing against modernism. It was unorganized, and it became known as fundamentalism, that in which I grew up thinking they've got it right. Its purpose was to defend the doctrines of the New Testament and of Christianity according to the New Testament. Modernism had begun to take its toll in this land. And fundamentalism stood for the verbal inspiration of the Scriptures. Holy living. Dedicated lives. But it moved over into the pre-tribulation rapture theory. And eventually, taking over all the teachings of C.I. Scofield, which had worked its way into, and then dividing the Scripture, this portion is for the Jews, this portion is for the church, this portion is for those left after the rapture. And it was out of the seedbed of fundamentalism that sovereign grace had its rise. I don't know if it was in the late 50s or the early 60s when Banner of Truth began publishing for the first time in America some of the great old books that we've held to for a number of years. They were in England. I think it was in Pennsylvania here where they set up and began offering their books here. I was all alone except for fundamental preachers that I knew. And they were bringing back the great doctrines of Scripture. And I was reading, and I couldn't believe what I was reading in the early 70s. And I couldn't handle it. And I knew the church I pastored couldn't handle it. And so I thought, well, maybe I misread. But every time and every place I began to open the book, there were these great doctrines. Now, I don't know if this will greatly offend or not, but it's the truth as far as I can discern. As with fundamentalism, the spirituality of the Word of God has died in our hands. And we being educated and trained in what the Bible teaches, how we are to outline and develop our messages, we've lost the need of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is no longer needed for the most part. No more than a mockingbird needs singing lessons to learn how to chirp. We've all but lost him. The basic doctrines, they're all here. We hold to them. But a different tone has settled in upon the churches. And our worship and our adoration and our praise has taken wings. And the letter of the Word of God has triumphed. And the Spirit of God has withdrawn. And now textualism reigns supreme. Now I'll fight you over these doctrines, but there's more involved in the work of God than doctrine. I know thy works and thy patience. I commend you that your doctrine is correct and that you're wise enough that you cannot bear those that are evil. And being that wise, you've tried those that claim to be apostles and you've found them liars. For my name's sake, thou hast labored. And you've not fainted. But you and I have got a problem. I got a little something against you. You don't love me as you did at the first. Repent, or else I will remove the candlestick. Guess what happened to seven churches in Asia? They lost Christ. If a doctrine doesn't bring it back to the blessed Lamb of God and the Lord Jesus, you've missed it somewhere in what you believe. And seven churches were reprobated. Does that mean that the people of God in those churches went to hell? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying all of them lost their candlesticks. Well, welcome to America 2016. It's almost out. What is it in your heart that draws it to the Lord Jesus? Well, my life's just got so much in it. And I'm so busy. Well, you're too busy. It is only the ones whose sins have been forgiven that will be looking for Him. Have any desire for His return. Folks, do you honestly think that somebody that is enjoying sin or enjoying their station or life in this world has any desire for Christ to come back? Wouldn't He interrupt most of us if He came back today to get us? Don't we want Him to come next week or next month or next year, but I've got a little more living that I'd like to do before He comes back. You better get some things settled, for it is only those that look for Him that He shall appear again the second time. Isn't He coming for everybody? Mm-hmm. But only those that are looking for Him will He carry with Him to their eternal abode. And everybody else, and their eyes will see Him, Brother Rodney. They shall call for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face. Now listen of the wrath of the Lamb of God. Boy, that's a Jesus not known or heard of today. Wrath. Mm-mm. And God warned Israel, Amos 6:3, you put far away from you that evil day. Won't be today. You lie on beds of ivory and you eat the lamb. You've got so much that you don't even have to wait for the lambs to mature so that they can produce. You take the finest out of your herd and you eat that. And you take the calves out of the stall. Ezekiel, son of man, I want you to know this, that the house of Israel is saying the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesies of evil or of times afar off. go on with life if you choose, thinking that God will give you a warning when He's about to return. Proverbs 29, he that being often reproved and hardeneth neck shall suddenly, unexpectedly, unlooking for it, shall suddenly be cut off. Now listen, and that without remedy. I looked up a few months ago, and I'm sure that I did not get all of it, but I looked up the number of those that die in a day with a heart attack, with a car accident, with murder, and it was astounding how many sudden deaths happen every hour in this land. And we've become that. Thousands upon thousands will step out into eternity today to meet a God they were not expecting to meet when they got up this morning. What of you? All of you have seen on the news, read in the news, or know of a person that was dying, young person dying with a bad heart. And at the last hour, they received a good one from another young individual that's life had been snuffed out quickly in an automobile accident. And every one of them that I've ever heard about, they always wanted to meet the family of the donor. Just to say, my son lives, my daughter lives, at the expense of your child's life. Don't try to tell me that there's one whose sins have been pardoned, blotted out. You sit here this morning forgiven that you do not have a great interest in meeting Christ, though that might be a natural dread in your heart that's expected. I don't know what the valley of the shadow of death is about. Naturally, there is a dread, but even beyond that dread, there is deep within a desire just to bow at the feet of the one that did what he did for me. God spared not his only begotten Son that he might spare you. And you folk that were here Sunday, if you'll pardon me for repeating myself, Proverbs 8, Jesus said, I was daily his delight. Micah 7:18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, and retaineth not his anger forever. Why'd you do that, Lord? Because I delight in mercy. But for a while, God's delight in mercy overrode the delight of a darling son. Said, I want to show mercy at your expense. And none of us as fathers could imagine the heart of the father there, much less the heart of the son. But he said, I go that the world may know that I love you, Father. And God loved you, if you are a child this morning, God loved you while he cursed his son. When you sit here or there, tell me you don't want to see him and say thank you. And you don't want to bow before him without sin, or for the first time ever, praise will rise from your heart to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It can't be, children. It can't be. He did too much for me to choose my own path or course in life. He did too much against the Son at his right hand. For me to go through life living for Barrett Holloway, God have mercy on any person that would call himself or herself a Christian that's not devoted to the Son of God and his dear Father. Unto them that look for him, Psalm 102. Psalm 102, verse number 16. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. And dear ones, the bridegroom is and has always been clothed with majesty, honor, and glory. But now, as in the days of his time on earth, it is veiled over. It is like the sun that has shone for thousands of years in its brightness, but no one has ever seen the sun in its fullest. And you have gone many days without seeing it, long winter, dreary nights, cloudy days that hide the sun from our little planet. It's still there. It's still there when you're going through dark day. It's still there when you're in trials and you're in fires and tribulation and in deep water. It's still shining. Christ is all glorious. But his appearing in Zion in his glory is going to be when the church begins to adorn herself, let go earthly things, fixes her gaze with an eye single and a heart fully upon him. Got a long way to go, haven't we, folks? Now you explain this verse to me. The Holy Son of God looking upon saved sinners. And a sinner you will be till you die. Said, thou hast ravished my heart. Thou hast ravished my heart. with just one of your eyes. And if you can explain that one to me, then I'll ask you to go one step further. Turn away thine eyes from me. My soul, I can't get this. All I know about me is I am a sinner. And how under God's bright shining sun can the Holy Son of God say, you're going to have to kind of turn your head because you've overcome me. When the Lord builds up Zion, His glory is built over right now. He in patience and long suffering is waiting for Zion to be built up. Psalm, I think it's 45, forget thine own people in thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. We got too much attached to us right now for Zion to be built up. Coming again, yes. But it'll be when you and I begin to adorn ourselves. You parents that have had a daughter wed, you didn't have to wake her up an hour or two before her wedding day. She had been planning that for months and months and months. Everything God's created clearly manifests the invisible things of God. My soul, we got a ways to go. It could happen. It could happen like that. I'm aware of that. But God usually uses means. Folks, this world's got one thing that renews life and furthers its continuance every day, and that's the S-U-N coming up. It's got one thing that continues life, and that's the S-O-N, the bridegroom, Psalm 19, coming out of his chamber. Looking for some folk anxiously awaiting his return. Well, what about the waters falling from heaven and running, the streams flowing that keep it from becoming stagnated, or the wind blowing that keep it, the air from becoming so polluted? It's all due to the S-U-N. Rain, water's flowing, wind blowing, earth rotating from one hot spot on it to a cooler spot, the wind's blowing. What's going to purify the church? The sun coming up. The wind blowing again in our midst. Heaven's moisture falling again. If we are not living in the days of a great famine, not of bread or water, but of hearing the word of God, I'm a complete idiot. And Brother David's an idiot for ever having me back. Oh, we got the Word of God declared. But it's not being applied to our souls as it ought by the Holy Spirit. When he appears the second time without sin, that is, he came the first time without sin, but he was made sin, but when he comes back, there will be no more remedy. Right now, Christ sits on the throne of glory and grace, willing to receive any that come unto God through repentance and faith. The old writers of hundreds of years ago, they summed it all up in this and said, God is willing to save any sinner where it's not at the expense of his character. God can't save anyone apart from his holiness and justice. But if there's a sinner, that God's made willing, he'll receive you. That God's made willing. You didn't get willing. God made you willing. Wasn't in you. You weren't born with it. You didn't decide to come to Christ. The Father made you willing. And without the expense of God's holiness and justice, God will save anybody that comes to Him through Christ. That's the only way. Now, I'll begin to close. Don't take that the next minute or two now, okay? The Word, He shall appear the second time without sin unto. The word unto has to do with the consummation or the completion of one's salvation. Well, preacher, you aren't saved yet. No. No, I'm not. Might have been. Have hoped that I was. But it's not complete. Wasn't that accomplished at Calvary? As far as God being reconciled to sinners? Not us being reconciled to God, that's Christ reconciling God to enemies. To you and me. And His wrath and His holiness and His justice appeased by Christ. But everything that was finished by Christ on the cross at Calvary, it's got to have its outworkings in the life of every soul God saves. It's got to have its application in your heart. Or He didn't die for you. If Jesus Christ died for all your sins, then He will deliver you from all sins. And if you are living with a known sin, then you've got a God different than the God of the Scripture. God won't let His children dwell or abide in a known sin. What did I say? Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 36. Well, I know folk that are Christians and they're living in sin. Well, they have not yet been made aware of it, but God bless your dear soul, they will be made aware of it in life. and they'll deal with it by running afresh and anew in repentance unto the very consummation, that which Christ finished at Calvary's got to have its outworkings in your life. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Paul's quoting from Habakkuk there. Just wait. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Folk, you better finish this thing, ever how rough the course gets in front of you. You better adhere to the end. That's a characteristic of a child of God. That's the workings of the Spirit of God in the hearts of every child. Not of those that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving. But Saul, didn't you meet Christ? And weren't you saved on the Damascus Road? Yes. But not as I am being saved. Not as I shall be saved when he shall appear. And I'll be through with sin forever. Yea, doubtless, Philippians 3:3, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. How important were they to you, Paul? Well, he said, I tell you what, you go out and take a manure pile and you stack it up over here. And you stack up everything I've lost. And everything I've lost is just like that. It has no meaning to me. I began anew with my Lord this morning. Did you? Do you? Why you compare everything to dung, that I may win Christ? Oh, God's not through with you yet? No. And be found in him. Aren't you already in him? Mm-hmm. But not yet as I ought to be. And be found in him. What of you, my friend? What of you? Unto them that look for him, whether that be a Christian as he approaches the valley of death, or that be the Lord's people that are here at his bodily appearance, he will never come again to be made an offering for sin. All the sins of all his people were fully paid at one sacrifice. So now he will appear unto salvation. That's the completion of the work begun in time. It began with a new birth. It began with a new creation in your soul where old things passed away and God began making all things new. It began when first there was that hard cry by the Spirit of God to Almighty God, Abba, Father, Papa. I'm still careful in my use of that. And often tell him, Father, I want to use it rightly. And I don't want to approach you without an awareness and reality that thou art my Father. When it says unto them that look for him, it does not mean those that are alive when he returns. That's the true character and disposition of all his people down through the ages. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar and zealous people. 1 Peter, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end. Why? I'm going to need grace. Headed into the valley, my soul, I'm going to need grace. Into the valley of the shadow of death. See, I didn't get that grace when he saved me. I'm going to need grace all the way through death. Hope to the end that shall be for the grace that shall be brought, given at the revelation. You standing before Almighty God, it's going to take grace. I mean grace that you know nothing about right now. You only approach him through faith. Then you'll see him face to face. Don't tell me I'm not going to need grace. When he appears the second time, it will be for the completion of that which he has begun. He that's trusting in one act of believing in Jesus knows nothing of the continuation of the believing or of the Spirit's work within causing us to continue believing and repenting. I'm not concerned about you getting saved 20 years ago. America's filled with Christians that got saved way back then. Now they live almost like the devil himself. But you can't confront them because they got saved. And the Bible says once saved, always saved. That's true. But it also teaches that everybody that God saves perseveres. They finish out. He appeared the second time for the children to bring about their final eternal deliverance from all sin and corruption. Well, I'm trusting in Jesus for my sanctification and righteousness. That's good. You better be. For he alone is that. But don't you tell me you're without sin. The holiest duties you ever perform are defiled. In your fullest obedience, there are shortcomings and sins that need pardon. And a lot of folk are looking for the second coming of Christ to accomplish that which the Holy Ghost cannot do in their life. Now listen, children, I'm closing. Death doesn't change your disposition. You will die as you are. But the children are being changed looking for him. I hear these folks saying, well, rich man got to hell and became a great evangelist for souls. No, he didn't. He was as he in hell as he was in life. As a tree falleth, that's where it lies. As death finds ye, that's the way you be throughout all eternity. You looking for him? All men are sojourners as far as this life and world being their permanent dwelling. But only the children of God are sojourners by disposition of heart and life.
We need God's help.